are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci with the program to put some money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network as we kick it at Studio 34 in New York City. And there's a lot of stuff going on in New York City. And obviously, first things first, on a serious note, our thoughts, condolences, and prayers with the victims and the families of the victims after yesterday's another stupid, senseless attack. But, you know, they've said it before and they'll say it again, not a more resilient city out there. And you walk the streets of New York right now and people are going about their business, just like we have to go about our business as well. It's been a pretty crazy 24 hours, actually. You know, done a lot of shows, early morning flight, got here, did the radio show with the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart already. But we're all locked and loaded, man. Well, we're not loaded, literally and figuratively. You know, no, we're drinking Pepsi. And it's funny, I spoke to my mother. I don't speak to my mother that often. Only once every 2 weeks type of deal. Should be more. But I saw my phone ringing this morning. It's my mother. And what am I going to do? She knows I'm in New York. She's worried. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, don't worry, Mom. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. She's like, I'm a 47-year-old man. My mother's like, make sure you behave yourself. She goes, you know, don't get too crazy around these people. You know, don't get, you know, make sure you behave. She said, don't worry about it. I'm behaving myself, all right? You know, I'm behaving myself, at least for now. I won't be behaving myself Thursday night when I go see the Buffalo Bills take on the New York Jets. I was going to say when I go see the Buffalo Bills beat the New York Jets, but I don't want to mush this thing. And I know camera two, Drew's worried that somehow the Bills are going to lose because I'm there. No, listen, that's, you know, I've been to a lot of Bills games. They've actually won more than they've lost, actually, over the years. So I am a Bills fan. I'm also a Los Angeles Dodger fan. But whether you're a Dodger fan, whether you're an Astro fan, even whether you're a baseball fan or not, you know, this World Series has been as good as it gets. I think it's fitting that it does go seven games. Both teams showing the resiliency. Both teams showing heart. Is it a perfect World Series? No. You know, it's a modern World Series, man. It's modern baseball. People can talk about juice balls all they want. They can talk about slippery balls all that they want. And those were some bad puns there, but it's true. We're talking about baseball here, people. Get your mind out of the gutters. But the fact is, there were 10 guys coming into this World Series. 10 guys, 6 guys on the Dodgers, 4 guys on the Astros, and that 20 or more combined home runs. So it's not a surprise. This is the first freaking time since the year I was born in 1970 that we had two teams coming to the World Series with 100-plus wins. So can we be surprised that we've had an epic World Series? And they don't call it the Fall Classic for nothing, man. And you look at the crapness of the National Football League, and you look at the excitement that's always around the NBA right now. College football's having a great year, and Joe Lisi's going to join us in studio and talk college football with us. And you look at what's going on in baseball right now. Hockey's always entertaining. You know what? It sounds crazy and almost sacrilegious to say it, but the National Football League is actually the most boring of all the major professional sports. And you know what else? You know, the NFL doesn't have game sevens. No game sevens. No game sevens like there is this evening. Big-time baseball going down. Big-time line movement. L.A. Dodgers were minus 65. Now they're minus 155. We're going to break down the game. Mark Lawrence is going to join us. Joe Lisi rides shotgun this afternoon live on a Fantasy Sports Television Network. Game Time Decisions continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, so as we stated off top of the program, man, we've got a Game 7. Doesn't get much better than that. Doesn't matter. It's some people say it's the coolest two words in sports, Game 7, whether it's the NBA, whether it's the NHL, or whether it's Major League Baseball. But It's the first time since 2001 that we've had back-to-back seven-game World Series sets. And last year, you know, it's funny, we have these instant classics all the time, and I think this World Series has been among the best ever, and the most entertaining ever, we should say, at least. But it was just last year that the Indians and the Cubs went seven games as well. And I remember 2011, although I don't remember it too well because I was in Vegas. And, yeah, I think we were pretty blasted at the time over at Blondie Sports Bar. Blondie Sports Bar, Planet Hollywood, great spot, actually. And it was the Rangers and the Cardinals at that time. But let's bring in a man right now. You know, it's funny because, you know, earlier in the week we had Gary and Thorne on the program. Gary Thorne's very peaceful, soft-spoken person, but we asked him about the Jay Ajayi trade, and he got very, very upset, and he displayed a lot of rage. And we've got another Miami Dolphin fan in the house who not very happy right now, and we're going to be sending it to Florida to a man that's always, always happy. So first things first, Joe Lisi, host of College Football Today at GoForTheTwo.com, joins us in studio. Joe, always a pleasure, my man.
Loving life here, Gabe. Great game seven in the baseball. We got college football on tap. We have great guests like Mark Lawrence and great studio in Studio 34. Doesn't get better than this.
Yeah, I don't know which camera to look at and stuff. They told me to look at the red light. You guys got to get bigger lights on these cameras. It's like, if you want, I'll give you like a bunch of notes. Marenzi says get bigger lights. I'm sure your bosses will be impressed. Let's bring in Mark Lawrence right now, and we figured we'd pleasantly surprise Mark. With a colleague of his, and Joe Lisi. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, I'm doing just terrific, guys. Great to see you. Great to see Joe, and I should say, Gabe, you, amongst all people, should be really familiar with red light zones, red light districts, and what they mean. So you should have your eye on the camera where it should be.
Yeah, it's a good call there. But also, I should state, I'm not one to stop at red lights either, Mark. I mean, I go right through them. I'm going right through them. So, yeah, we had Joe coming on, and, you know, we were going to speak to you, and then I realized, I'm like, well, we're going to talk some NFL. We'll talk some college football. And, of course, Joe has been a contributor to the playbook as well. So I figured, hey, why not bring everybody on at once. But it's great to have you here, Joe and Mark. And Joe, you wrote in this year's playbook, Preview Magazine.
I did. I put my games of the year, top five college games of the year, playbook.com. I suggest you check it out. Mark has a great publication. Insight, second to none. Love college football, and that's all we do.
Well, Mark, we got some college football, some action on the board tonight, but wanted to talk some NFL. As here we are coming into this, you know, I didn't even know the NFL had a trade deadline, essentially. We know that they had one, but there was never any activity. It was almost like, you know, the NBA free agents period signing. Yesterday, like one GM started, and it was like just a domino effect of teams. And it's really an indication, I think, of how wide open these general managers think that it is. But it's kind of tricky for copying purposes, Mark, because we've got some guys that, you know, like the Miami Dolphins taking on the Raiders. Dolphins sort of looked like an attractive 3-point home underdog, but they just traded away their best player. And we'll get Joe's analysis on this. But, you know, the Panthers, big football game against the Falcons this week. They trade Kelvin Benjamin away. You go down the list of these teams that are still in the playoff chase, trading big contributors on their football team. It's a very, very strange week in the National Football League, Mark.
It was a big week in the National Football League, Gabe, especially with these big trades. As you say, Jay Ajayi down here in Miami has got everybody up in arms wondering what's going on with the Dolphins, why the trade happened, why was it inspired. And I can tell you this, Adam Gase was one pissed off head coach after being embarrassed 40-0 in his last football game on national television. And he went into the locker room. He picked out the player that is the smallest, least contributor as far as watching game films goes and game preparation. That was Jay Ajayi. He sent a message to this football team when he sent him packing. He doesn't like his work preparation, and he doesn't like his overall production. A statement was made by Adam Gase and the Miami Dolphins this week.
I didn't like the statement that he made. I don't think he has the street cred to try to pull this bully stuff and look at me. You know, Adam Gase is also the guy. How come he doesn't call out Sue for the stupid stuff that he does on the field all the time? And how about bringing in Jay Cutler? You know, that's his decision. How has that worked out for them? I get that Gase is upset, but I don't really understand making Ajayi the scapegoat when right now you got Drake and Damian Williams as your running backs. Joe, you're a lifelong Dolphin fan. What's your take on this deal?
Well, I think when you look at this trade overall, I think Miami also looking at the 2018 college draft, you have some quarterbacks that you can get in the second and third rounds. Obviously, Tannehill, in my opinion, will not be the starter next year. I don't like him as the overall franchise quarterback for this team. I like Matt Moore. I think he could lead this team to the playoffs, but will he be the starter in 2018? Will be the real mindset of this team? I don't think so. They need an elite quarterback. You have guys like Josh Rosen, Josh Allen that everybody's high on, Mason Rudolph. Do you trade Jay Ajayi to get quality picks in the second and third round to possibly get that franchise quarterback? That's what you might have saw in Miami this past week.
You know, a team, though, that's 4-3, it seems to me like they're almost just giving up on the playoffs. I mean, whether Gase likes Ajayi or not. And let's not forget, Mark, I read all the same stuff, but we always see this, you know, because Dolphin fans are pretty pissed off about this. So they're going to smear Ajayi on the way out. Oh, he's a selfish player. He was unhappy when we won. He didn't get touches. He was unprepared and all this other stuff. But it seems like, we're talking about a franchise whose offensive line coach was doing cocaine off a table and sending it to hookers. Really? Is that Jay Ajayi's fault?
It's the problem with the offensive line. That's the real problem with this football team. Their offensive line is tattered, and nobody can run the football right now. But Ajayi hasn't performed this year. Bottom line is, you look at his runs this year, runs of 25 or more yards, he has none, zero this year. He had 6 of them last year, so the production hasn't been there. He had to make a statement, and I can also say this to Joe, that rest assured, next year Ryan Tannehill will be the starting quarterback for this team. Tannehill and Gase are on the same page. Whether you like him or not, he will be the starting quarterback.
I don't like the sound of that, Joe. No. I heard the sigh there.
Mark, I know that. It's just, I think in order for Miami to take the next step, they need to really cut ties with Ryan Tannehill. I know from a statistical standpoint, he's put up numbers, but in terms of an intangible, he's not a Tom Brady type of guy. He hasn't led this team to the next level, and I've seen more out of Matt Moore in terms of intangibles and leadership than I've seen out of Ryan Tannehill at this point.
So, Mark,
I can say this. I can agree 100%, Joe, with what you're saying. Tannehill is not a quarterback. He's a wide receiver turned quarterback, and he hasn't really made the switch into the National Football League side of things. I agree with you. I don't think he's going to lead the team anywhere. I'm just saying Gase and Tannehill are on the same page.
So do you think how do you think the Dolphins respond in this spot? Raiders are laying 3. They seem to be in a decent situation after the humiliation and – why would the Raiders be favored against anybody right now? They've got major problems as well. They just haven't been shut out and embarrassed like the Dolphins have been. But now with the Dolphins, I don't know. I mean, some players on the team probably aren't too happy that Ajayi's been traded and they don't have a ground game right now. And you got Matt Moore as your quarterback. You don't have a running back. Has the trade scared you off, Mark?
Hasn't scared me off. I don't like Miami here. I don't like what's going on. This team has no personality, no character, no trait. And the only number I'll leave you with is this, 24-44-3. That's Jay Cutler's spread record at home as a starting quarterback in the NFL. He'll be behind center in this football game. I do not like the Miami Dolphins.
No, I don't like the Dolphins either. Better offensive line is Oakland in this ballgame, L.A. I like the Raiders to dominate it. I love Derek Carr as well. He's a gamer.
Dolphin fan's so negative, Mark. Every Dolphin fan I talk to, I'm surprised.
Well, I've been a Dolphin fan since Tommy Vigorito back in the day and Don Strzok.
Wow, Tommy Vigorito. You're going back a ways, Joe. I forgot that name. That's a big-time, long-time go-back name. Tommy Vigorito.
One of the reasons I came down here, Mark, was to see my Buffalo Bills take on the New York Jets. Little did I believe that these teams would have a combined 8 wins at this point. I was thinking about that. So the Jets with 3 wins. Their win total was 3.5 on the season, guys. So 3.5 wins in the entire year. The Buffalo Bills, with all the movement they did in the offseason, their win total was 6.5. So that's 9.5 games combined that the odds makers stated these two teams would win coming into this year. Already at 8, Mark, that's absolutely shocking that these two teams have combined for 8 wins. And not a lot of people, I guarantee you, the NFL Network and the NFL executives, when they made this game, they were biting a bullet. Thursday, November the 2nd, all right, Bills, Jets. Yeah, all right, big market. But I think they got to be pleasantly surprised. I mean, me as a Bills fan, I'm pleasantly surprised that they're 5-2. They win this game, they're 6-2. And as Bill Parcells says, after 8 weeks, you are what your record says you are.
Well, between this game and the Sunday night game, they needed a flex game switch big time. These are not two marquee matchups. But as you mentioned here, the oddsmakers were wrong on both of these teams this season. Buffalo and the Jets have outperformed expectations. What I don't like about Buffalo, look inside the numbers of this team. They're 5-2, having a great season so far. But they've been outyarded 6 out of their 7 football games. They've been outyarded their last 6 games in a row. They're winning games with smoke and mirrors and doing a lot of it at home where they're 4-0, straight up 3-0-1 to the spread. I like Todd Bowles at home. He's been really, really good in home division games, 7-2 to the spread, 5-1 as a division home dog. I think the Jets can get the job done in this game Thursday night.
Falcons and Panthers, a very, very big football game. The Falcons stopped the bleeding by, you know, stopping that 3-game losing streak, beating the Jets, covering depending on when and where you bet it. They're still in trouble. They still need to string together some wins right now. They're taking on a Carolina Panther team. Panthers laying 2.5, total 44 in this football game. But I've got to wonder what Cam Newton's mindset is like right now. They don't have the best offensive line to begin with. Greg Olsen is injured, and now they trade away Calvin Benjamin. So, you know, you got Devin Funchess is suddenly your number one wide receiver. And, Joe, you know, you follow Christian McCaffrey closely. At Stanford, it's not like Christian McCaffrey's lighting up the NFL. He's not embarrassing himself. He's not a bust, but he doesn't look like a star, Mark, right now. And I know Benjamin's got his flaws. He came into camp heavy. He's inconsistent at times, etc. But nevertheless, he was also a 6'5" target that Cam Newton was used to throwing to. Cam Newton can't be in a good mood right now. What's the pause? Oh, but don't worry, Cam. We got a 3rd and a 7th round draft pick. What the hell does that do for Cam Newton and his concussions, Mark? Nothing. I can't imagine Cam likes this deal.
No, he can't like the deal at all. He was a big, big target, as you mentioned, and he could have been, an NFL All-Pro Bowl wide receiver, but there's a reason they got rid of him. It's either injuries or he's a locker room detriment, one or the other. The good news for Carolina this week is two things. Number one, this defense has been ferocious. All 8 games they played this year, they've held opponents to either season low or second low total yards, the Carolina defense. They're legit. Number two, this is the 3rd game in a row on the road for the Atlanta Falcons, who in that role, by the way, are 0-6 straight up end of the number against winning teams. But they're a Super Bowl losing team, and I'm going to call this out. This is a great stat. Super Bowl losers on the road, 3 in a row, in the 3rd of 3 in a row away. Since 1980, they've been in that role 11 times. They're 1-10 straight up and against the spread.
Ooh.
This is not a good scheduling spot for Atlanta this week against Carolina. I think the Panthers will make a statement in this game.
All right, before we talk some college football World Series, Kansas City Chiefs and the Dallas Cowboys. So Elliott's out again, and you know it's hard to keep up with this saga. Has he been reinstated yet in the last couple of hours? I don't know. It's like watching CNN and you know Trump and Russia collusion. That's all you hear about. Eventually. You're like, I don't, you know, you just turn it off. You're like, it's all these guys, it's all you're talking about. You know, it tunes, it's like the little boy that cried wolf. Everybody sort of tunes it out. So this Elliott stuff's annoying, but he's not playing in this football game. Kansas City Chiefs are -1. You know, what do you make of this one? Because to me, my gut instinct right now, I think the Kansas City Chiefs are a better team. It's funny, Mark. You know, everybody's raving about the Chiefs. You know, the Chiefs are 5-0. The Chiefs lose a couple of games. People forget about him. Nobody ever talks about him again. Now suddenly the Eagles are the cool kids on the block. And the Eagles are the best team in the NFL. Nobody can beat the Eagles. But people have really forgotten about the Chiefs already after their hot run. Laying 1 going into Dallas without Elliott. What's the database tell you?
Well, the database tells me Andy Reid knows this Dallas Cowboy football team from his days back in the Eagles. And in fact, the 17 times he's played Dallas when he's had a winning record, he's won 11 of those 17 games straight up on the scoreboard. On the flip side, you've got Jason Garrett, who finds ways to lose games at home, especially in the role of a favorite. He's 3-9 straight up, 2-10 to the number at home against 700 or better football teams. But with this Elliott case being what it is, and it was funny you asked me that because one of the guys wrote the newsletter this week. He said, can I use this line? I said, what's that? And he says, Elliot, we don't know if he's in or he's out. Can I say this is a Johnny Watt Holmes story here? He's in, he's out. We don't know what's going on. But the bottom
so you're the editor? Because I wonder. Yeah, there's some pretty sleazy jokes in the playbook at times, Mark. So you give the final stamp of approval. Like when the boys writing it, if they think it's really edgy, they better run it by you first, right?
It's got to go by me first, and I wouldn't let that one go by this week. No.
You know what? Mrs. Lawrence reads the playlist. Yeah, she reads
no,
it.
No, I don't. Too. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But the bottom line to me in this game is I think Kansas City's the better football team. They're the underdog, and I don't like Jason Garrett laying points to good quality teams.
And I could say, you know what? I'm a little bit more refined. You could have said, he's in and out like Mark Wahlberg and Boogie Nights. And that's sort of, it's good. It's the same thing. That's the same thing across, but it's, you don't really realize you've just been offended. You know what I mean?
Gabe, I'm surprised you come up with a clean edit. I'm really stunned.
Yeah, no, I'd be a good muck rucker in politics and stuff. Like, I'd be a good like type of guy writing the speech in the back. No, put it like this. It'll make people believe you more. All right, we got some action on the board tonight, Joe. Central Michigan and Western Michigan. And Mark, you wrote about this, Mark, in which, the Chips, the Chippewas, their backs are against the wall right now. This is a program that expects to go bowling on a yearly basis. They're 4-4 straight up. They've got to get to 6. Meanwhile, the Broncos with 5 wins, they've got a little bit of wiggle room, and they got Kent State. But with that being stated, it's a rivalry game. They don't like each other. I'll start with you, Joe. I'm surprised that the number is this low, actually. The Western Michigan are only 3.5-point favorites on their home field in Kalamazoo.
Yeah, well, it opened up at 7, gave it, and it went down to about 3.5 now. I think Bonamigo has done a great job with this team. The kids fight hard each and every week. I think Central Michigan does have the better secondary in this matchup, though. Force Western Michigan to methodically work down the field. I think that's the difference. I like the offense. They can run the football. They could also stretch you vertically and solid quarterback play. I just don't like the way Western Michigan has played at home this year, and that's why I think Central Michigan does get the outright victory later tonight.
What's your take on this, Mark?
I think Joe's spot on in his analysis in this game. I'm like Joe. I'm a big John Bonamago fan. I really like him, and I know his team needs 2 more wins to go bowling this year. They're 4-4, so this becomes a huge game, if you will, for the Chips. And I liked also the fact that the visiting team in the series has taken home the money 5 times in a row. Big game for Central Michigan. I think they get the job done.
Wow. All right. I'm going to have to be that guy. I'll be that guy. I'll be like, no. It's a good thing we're not like all in a hotel room. Like we're on the jury, Mark. Be that guy. Gabe, come on, man. He's guilty. I'd be like, I need to see more evidence. I need to see more evidence on this one. I'm gonna go with the Broncos here, and I hate doing it because anyone who watched the show for a long time, anyone knows me, knows I got a soft spot in my heart for the Chips. They're like a friend, man, that always lends you money when you need it. All right, Dan LeFever, and I know this is gonna shock people, but Butch Jones used to actually be a good coach and win games, Mark, at one point in time in his life at Central Michigan.
Yeah, in amongst teams that he could beat, he can't beat Southeast Conference teams. So
no, he's a Mac guy. Like
Well, he's a Peter Principal coach. He's kind of like risen to a level that he's incompetent at right now, and he's being exposed. I also think he's going to have a hard time this week against Southern Mississippi as well.
All right, we're going to run down all the big games. We're going to talk about the college football rankings with Joe Lisi on the other side here. But, Mark, before we get you out of here, World Series Game 7. It's 2 best words in sports. People love Game 7s. Last year we had a Game 7. Now we have another Game 7. As I stated earlier, they don't call it the Fall Classic for nothing. We've got Yu Darvish on the hill who had a tough time. Yu Darvish will try to rebound from the subpar effort in Houston. Gave up 4 runs on 6 hits in 1 2/3 innings. Interesting, though. Darvish had a problem with the ball and his slider. And everyone's talking about the ball being slippery. He said, I can't pay that much attention to what happened last time. Just focused on Wednesday's outing and have a good game. Said, I went through a bullpen session and my slider is getting there. It's better, says Yu Darvish. Darvish stumbled, yet he's been good in the playoffs. He won 2 big games in the playoffs on the road. Then he lost his 3rd start in the World Series, but he's been a very good pitcher at home, Mark. What do you make of Game 7 tonight?
Well, Darvish is either spot on or he's off, one or the other. There's no in-between with him. He was off his last start. But you go back and you look at his last six starts, 1.95 ERA, 35 strikeouts, and only three walks in those efforts. I'd say that's really good current form. On the flip side, Lance McCullers, in his last 10 starts, Houston's 2-8. He has a 7.75 earned run average. I like Darvish in this baseball game here, and I'm surprised, not surprised, I should say, they priced this game exactly where the series price was. They opened up the Dodgers $1.60, which is spot on where the series price was. I think the Dodgers win game seven tonight.
Yeah, and the money's been coming in, actually. Money's been coming in on the underdog here. And I swear, last night it was frustrating me. I enjoyed it because I'm a Dodger fan and I bet on them, but you would have thought that Cy Young was pitching. You know, Cy Young was pitching, and the Dodgers hitters are blindfolded for all the times that I heard Justin Verlander. Oh, you're betting on the. You can't beat Justin Verlander. Oh, you can't beat. Oh, you can't beat Justin Verlander. It's all I heard all day. But with that being stated, I think the Astros have to be somewhat. I get it. It's game seven. They're, you know, anything can happen. But they had their best pitcher on the hill. He pitched well. They still lost. You know, and now it's advantage Dodgers tonight coming into tonight, Mark.
I agree with that. And you think you've heard all you can hear about that particular matchup here. I'm going to throw this one to Joe real quick before I get out of here. God forbid if Texas wins this football game Saturday, you're going to hear nothing but Tom Herman underdog numbers and stats for the rest of the football season here, because he's been incredible and he's in a real nice upset role this week. Joe, are you buying in with Texas this week?
I'm not. I was going to hold it for the back end. I'm all in with Kenny Hill and TCU. I like their rush defense, Mark. They're holding opposing offenses to 77 rushing yards per game. To me, that's the difference. I thought they looked ahead last week on the road in Ames for this battle. I think they match up very well against the Longhorns in this game this coming Saturday. I'm picking TCU.
You know the thing that gets to me, Mark, though, and it was in your playbook today, too, and I've heard people bring it up that, oh, he's 14-0 against the spread as an underdog, as, you know, as either an assistant or. And I'm like, well, are we giving him credit for Urban Meyer's wins now? Is this what, you know, I can't include. So does he get, you know, tagged with the losses too, you know, with Urban Meyer? You know, I'll give him the 6-0. I'll give him the 6-0 ATS as a head coach, but I can't give him the assistant ones, Mark.
Well, I understand. If you're going to do that, you got to go back to his days as a water boy in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe tack those on as well. But I was just curious what Joe's take on the football game is. I know he's been spot on.
You think TCU's? And it's funny. I think like you do, Mark, because Joe asked me actually before we came on here, what do you think about that Texas TCU game? I said it's a classic bubble burst. Their bubbles burst. And, you know, you've got the bubble burst factor. And then you compound that with the Tom Herman ATS magic, and I have a hard time not taking the 7 points.
You know, the only thing that mystifies me here is through all this Texas talk we've heard about them this year, Joe, Texas is still only a 500 football team. They're not a winning team yet. They don't win this game. They're going to be in a little bit of trouble finding a bowl bid.
Yeah, that's a great point, Mark. I picked them at 5-7 overall. We'll see how it plays out this coming Saturday. I like TCU. We'll see.
Well, 5-7 wouldn't get them in a bowl game, so no. you didn't buy into the Texas hype.
I'm hanging on by a thread. We'll see.
Hey, Mark, it's always a pleasure. We encourage people to go to playbook.com. You can get it on your mobile device. Go to the Google Store. It's the Playbook Cube version. Check it out. Playbook.com. It's the best newsletter in the business. It's always a pleasure, Mark. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
It was my pleasure, as always. And, Joe, really nice to be on board with you. Good luck with your show this weekend.
You too, my friend.
There's Mark Lawrence with us. All right, so we'll take a quick break. Joe Lisi's going to hang around with us. We'll kick the tires on the college football rankings that came out last night. And I told people last night, chill out. The first four is rarely ever the final four. Game time decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network from New York City. Studio 34 continues.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Man, there's a freaking fly flying around here, man. In the middle of the segment with Mark, I wanted to get him a few times, but he's kind of weird. I don't know. He's like there, and then he's not. And he's like a scattered fly. I don't mind flies. They just sort of mind their own business. But this guy's been coming in and hanging out, and he's somewhere around here right now. I'm going to get him. But Joe Lisi tells me, hey, this fly's always here.
It's here since the show started in August.
It's just the same guy.
It's a persistent fly that's in the studio.
Well, you know what? I'll give him credit. Yeah, his persistence paid off in annoying me. I'll put it that way. All right, thanks to Mark Lawrence for joining us. And, man, I got flies here. I tell you why the fly is here. Probably because there's a fish here. I'm worried the fish is going to die, like, while I'm on the air.
I think the fish's name was Nando DeFino. I think
Nando DeFino. Yeah, now it's Ted Finn. Ted Finn Jr.
There you go.
Yeah, Ted Finn Jr. Okay, Joe. So you can catch Joe and Rich sitting in these chairs every Saturday morning. I join them with my best bets of the week. So let's talk some college football. Let's start up before we get into the games. Let's talk about the college football rankings that came out last night. A lot of people were surprised that the Georgia Bulldogs were ranked number one. Because people just sort of have that automation, Alabama, Alabama, Alabama. So if the playoffs started, like, you know, this weekend, we would have the Georgia Bulldogs playing against the Clemson Tigers. It would be, Georgia's one, Clemson's four, Alabama's two, and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish are ranked number three. And, you know, it pains me. Because I'm not a Notre Dame hater, but I'm no fan by any stretch of the imagination, Joe. But I've been saying this on a weekly basis, essentially, that this team has been underrated, I think, by most. And they're not just winning, but they're emphatically winning. And their one loss is to a very good Georgia Bulldog team.
Yeah, that's a great point, Gabe. I think when you look at Notre Dame's performances this year, the one loss at home to Georgia where they were in that ballgame from start to finish.
Second game of the year, too.
Yeah, exactly. They had the lead for much of that game and then let it slip away in the fourth quarter. And then the way they were able to dominate a solid NC State team was really why, in my opinion, they made the top four for the playoff. Again, we've seen it, though, each and every year where in the month of November, teams lose. I mean, Alabama has a tough matchup this weekend. Notre Dame plays Miami in 2 weeks. So things will settle out. You even look at Ohio State. They have the type of resume facing Iowa, Michigan State, and then Michigan to crack the top four. It'll all play out, but it should be a very intriguing month of November, to say the least.
I'm going
to
tell you what. If Notre Dame runs the table from here on out and finish the season with just one loss, I think you can argue they're ranked too low. By far, they play the toughest schedule,
sure.
By far. I mean, you look at Notre Dame's schedule. Georgia, Michigan State, USC, NC State, Miami, Florida, Navy, Stanford.
All bowl teams for the most part.
I mean, you're basically playing an ACC schedule. Instead of cream puffs, you're playing good teams on the off weeks there. Are Notre Dame going to stumble? I mean, they're playing Wake Forest this weekend. Is this the letdown? Is this the trap for them?
Well, I think this is a tough game for Notre Dame for a couple of factors. They're coming off two straight games now against USC and against NC State, back-to-back games where, from an emotional standpoint, they really put a lot into that. Now they have Wake Forest. This is a hot Wake Forest team coming off a 42-32 victory over Louisville. This is an offense that put up 625 total yards against Louisville and contained Lamar Jackson for much of the way. They only allowed 191 rushing yards on the ground, and 55 of them came in the last 55 seconds of the ball game. So from a defensive perspective, Wake Forest played very well in that matchup. Their former defensive coordinator is the defensive coordinator of Notre Dame, but they do have a hot senior quarterback in Joan Wolford that is completing 60% of his passes, 1,660 yards, 15 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I like Wake Forest to keep this game very close this coming Saturday.
Getting 14. At some point, Notre Dame, you figure Notre Dame would suffer a letdown. I just say it's hard to suffer a letdown when you know every game is essentially a playoff game for you.
Brian Kelly
has openly stated this, that they understand the margin for error. They don't have a conference championship game to play in.
Sure.
You know, it's almost like a golfer, Joe. They're going to have to put their score up, and they're going to be in the clubhouse after watching everyone else play. But Notre Dame laying 14 points in this football game. A lot of points. Could be a little bit of a sneak look ahead. And even though Kelly says, we don't look ahead. The kids are going to say, you know what? Who are Wake Forest?
Exactly.
You know, they're going to say, these guys in Wake Forest can't be that good.
Right, and that's the thing. I think Wake Forest is a team that plays with a blue-collar mentality, so they're not going to fear Notre Dame in this matchup. Wake Forest has played very well against the better teams in the ACC, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Clemson. They lost those ball games by 11.6 points per game, and in the last three games against Clemson, Georgia Tech, and Louisville, this is an offense that's averaging 305 passing yards per game, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception. So they match up very well against that Notre Dame secondary that's given up 232 passing yards per game. That's why I like Wake Forest to keep this game close. Ultimately, I think Notre Dame wins, Gabe, but are they looking ahead to Miami in week number 11? I see Notre Dame winning a close ball game, 34-30 over the Demon Deacons.
Well, I'll tell you, we'll get to Miami on the program today, but I'm not so sure Miami's going to get there unscathed, right?
Might not. They could be looking ahead as well.
Yeah, we'll see about this football game. But, you know, for people who are younger, it's amazing. Nobody expected this coming into this year. Nobody talked about Notre Dame being this good. And nobody expected Miami, Florida to be this good either. But Notre Dame and Miami, Florida used to be the kingpins of college football. When I say kingpins, not in the sense that they were the dominant teams forever, but they were the biggest names. They were the cool. It was basically, if you were cool, you liked the Miami Hurricanes. And if you were that,
I'm Irish, and
that white guy, right, was Notre Dame.
Right.
You know, Notre Dame aren't as popular now as they used to be. It used to be really over the top, actually.
Oh, either you loved them or you hated them back in the day. Tony Rice, Anthony Johnson.
Exactly.
I mean, Chris Orich.
Like, no, it's hard to believe in Notre Dame. Like, Notre Dame used to be so obnoxious. I used to hate Notre Dame with a passion. But what happened is it became so mediocre
that you started liking them,
no,
right?
You don't like them. Yeah, you almost feel sorry for them. It's like, well, kind of liked it better when they were good. At least they had something to hate.
Right.
Because you're only as good as your rival, right?
Right.
And Michigan and Notre Dame have been longtime rivals. But the old Catholics versus convicts matchup. I mean, they made 30 for 30s about this rivalry so good.
We had Melvin Bratton on the show last weekend. He was talking about the old days of Miami Hurricane football. Bernard, Tiger, Clark, Vinny Testaverde, my personal favorite, Brett Perriman. They had the swag. That was what college football is all about. But to have Notre Dame and Miami sitting here where they are in terms of the top 10 rankings, it is excellent for college football and just going to make for a very intriguing month in November.
So what did you think of the did you have a problem with the rankings with Georgia being number one? Do you have a problem with the four teams? Because some people are saying, oh, Clemson shouldn't be number four. They don't have a problem with the top three, but they're saying Clemson shouldn't be number four. No. But I think Clemson should be number four.
I agree with you. They're defending national champions. I have no problem with Clemson at number four for the body of work that they've put in up at this standpoint. I mean, they beat teams like Virginia Tech. They dominated the competition except for that three-point loss in the Carrier Dome where they lost their starting quarterback, Kelly Bryant. The problem that I have as a Georgia fan, don't put the bullseye on our back just yet. I mean, I have no problem with
Big
Georgia.
Huge target.
But are they up to par now? We'll see this coming weekend between the hedges against a tough South Carolina team.
I nearly got him a couple of times. He's not really a fly either. He's more
it's like
a net. So he's hard to really nail down. But, well, I took a couple of swipes at him when Joe's a pro. Like, Joe talks seriously in the background. I'm swinging. I'm like, I'm going to get this son of a bitch. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. Georgia right now, I think if I'm Kirby Smart, I'm not happy I'm number one.
No.
I'd rather just sort of be lurking around here.
Three or four. You want to be three or four.
If I'm Nick Saban, now this guy, he knows that now I want to get him. So now he's like, all right, now I'm going to mess with you. Sort of just blow him away wherever he is. All right, what was I talking about here? Yeah, Georgia. So Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart's probably thinking, oh, God, man, my kids are going to think they're so great. They're number one. And I guarantee you Nick Saban loved it. Nick Saban's a motivational tool. He's going to say to these guys, look, the country doesn't even think you're the best team. They think Georgia are better than you.
Right. Perfect for a game against LSU.
Poor LSU of all time. And Oregon's like, oh, God, why'd you have to do this right now? You know?
Why did you do that? Why did you make Alabama number two in the college football playoff? Again, I think when you look at Alabama's schedule as well, they have tough games. LSU's no joke, even though they beat them the last six games. Auburn as well, that's the Iron Bowl. Could come down to that as well, along with an SEC championship.
All right, guys, we'll take a quick break. Joe Lisi's going to hang with us. Tomorrow we'll jump in. We're going to talk a lot of NFL football, wrap up of the World Series, but we're going to hit the big college football games in a week, man. Monster stuff, all with playoff implications. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, this segment brought to you by Dober.games. Fantasy sports just got a lot easier to play and win with the hottest new games by Dober.games. No more complicated salary caps, no long lineups. Don't have to worry about competing against hundreds of thousands of other people. Just pick over, under, fantasy matchups. Pick three players correctly, get 6-1. Use promo code PUNT to enter a free contest. So go over to Dober.games, just enter promo code PUNT. You're going to get into a free contest with cash prizes just for joining. That's promo code PUNT. You can win cash fast and easy at Dober.games. Sign up now! Now! At Dober.games. And what's cool about it, you can mix sports as well, or you can mix positions. So you take a quarterback, take a wide receiver, NBA, you know, Russell Westbrook and a quarterback. That's Dober.games. It's a great time to be a fantasy player right now with all these new different formats. And this is a really, really cool format. The cross-sport promotion is great. And, you know, you just have to pick three and you get 6-1. And you don't have to worry about playing against a bunch of MIT nerds that have, $380,000 bankroll every Sunday. It's just, you know, you one-on-one. Like me and Joe are right now, one-on-one. Joe Lisi, GoForTheTwo.com with us and him and Rich Sermonello every Saturday morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Television and Radio Networks talking college football. So before we get into the games here, you know, people will say, well, how is Georgia? Georgia's not better than Alabama, but the fact of the matter is Georgia's played a tougher schedule to date because Alabama's game against Florida State doesn't look as good anymore. Sure. Meanwhile, Georgia's win against Notre Dame looks really good right now, and Notre Dame's loss to Georgia has them in the top three right now.
Yeah, it's all a computer mathematical process, Gabe, how they figure it out along with the playoff committee. It will settle itself out in the month of November. Don't lose sleep over it. The biggest thing you could do about these teams in the top four and the teams outside the top four, just win your games, win your conference championships, and you'll be there in the end.
All right, so let's talk about they're pretty much all playoff eliminators. And even with the college football playoff now, it really hasn't tainted the regular season at all. No. Because it's such a battle to get into the playoffs. That's the beautiful thing about college football. Every game counts. College basketball is the opposite. Yeah, you know, the games, even the conference tournaments, coaches will tell you they'd rather lose.
Yeah.
You know, they'd rather lose and not have to play in them. So all these games count, and we got a massive game here. It's Bedlam, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State. Cowboys are -2.5. This is an eliminator. You know, the loser's not going to the playoffs. The winner still might not go to the playoffs. But I think it would be hard to deny one of either of these teams if they were 12-1 when it was all said and done, or 11-1 Going into this, who do you like in this game, Bedlam?
I like Oklahoma State. I think they have the better quarterback with the better defense in this matchup. I think when you look
better
at
Mason Rudolph, better than
I
Baker
think
Mayfield.
Mason Rudolph is the better quarterback at this point in the season. Even though statistically Baker Mayfield looks like he's better on paper, I just think they're the more complete team, and they're forcing turnovers and more importantly scoring off those turnovers. They did it last week on the road in Morgantown. Played a solid West Virginia team. They're solid against the run, holding opposing offenses to 130 rushing yards per game. That's why I like Oklahoma State in this ballgame.
Right, Mark Lawrence brought this game up, Texas and TCU. And I talked about the bubble burst, the fact that TCU had an undefeated season. You know, these teams, they have their vision set on a national championship or a playoff appearance. They lose late in the year, and it is true in college football. If you're going to lose early. You know, people remember what they saw last. Notre Dame lost, yeah, but it was in week two. And they've won six in a row since and five in a row since. So people buy in. People give them a little bit of slack here. So TCU's coming off the loss. Thing is with Texas, you know what Texas remind me of? Andy Dalton. They really, you know what I mean? Like the Texas Longhorns will move down the field. They'll get to the six-yard line, and then Ellinger will throw an interception. Or he'll get sacked at the 32. He'll run backwards they're penny-wise and pound crazy, Joe. You know, they'll play well on 19 plays, but the 20th play, they'll do something stupid that'll cost them points or potentially the game.
Yeah, you're right. I think when you look at TCU and you look at Texas in this ballgame, TCU's defensive strength is in run support, holding opposing offenses to 77 rushing yards per game. In order for Texas to win this ballgame, they're going to have to run the football consistently to take the pressure off of Ellinger or even Shane Bouchel in this matchup. That's why I favor Kenny Hill. He's completing over 68% of his passes, 15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and I like Gary Patterson at home. They won this ballgame 31-9 last year. I think it continues. I like TCU to cover this number Saturday.
Joe, I had to do a double take, actually. I didn't believe it, and I'm not getting enough sleep, actually, after this program. I think, ooh, New York City, glamorous and stuff. No, I'm going to Jersey to go to sleep, all right? I'm going to Jersey to go to sleep, but... So I'm a little bit tired. I had to do a double and a triple take when I saw Virginia Tech were -2.5 at Miami.
Really?
Yeah. Why? Like, I thought Miami Hurricanes are this trendy it team that nobody can beat, and they're going to the playoffs and everything, and suddenly what? Virginia Tech are knocking them off?
Well, I think from a series perspective, Miami's won 3 of the last 5 over Virginia Tech, and they've won those ballgames by 17.3 points per game. And you look at Miami last year, they lost this ballgame in Blacksburg, 37-16, but I look at the Miami defense over the last couple of games, 7 interceptions, Gabe, from an offensive perspective. This is an offense over the last 3 games that's averaging 332 passing yards per game, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception. I like Malik Rozier going up against Josh Jackson, an inexperienced freshman quarterback. To me, that's the difference. Miami gets a 10-point win this coming Saturday.
Wow, you know what? This one worries me in a sense that what do the odds makers know? You know, they're begging us to take Miami here. But I think Miami lose to Notre Dame. I think they can get through this. And I think Notre Dame would beat them after that. All right, we got less than a minute. Alabama, like I said, Saban's going to put that on the bulletin board. Hey, look, Georgia's better than us. They're laying 21 points to LSU, though.
Well, I'm going on the Fantasy Sport Network right here. Fantasy Sports Network, LSU 24, Alabama 21. Even though Bama's won 6 straight by 12.8 points per game, LSU gets it done on the road.
Wow, monster upset special, says Joe Lisi. It's going to pay quite a bit on the money line. I'll tell you that much. You need a nice, huge, nice chunk of change back.
Yeah, money line bet. I like
about
it.
$1,200 plus $1,300 back, give or take. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with our plays of the day. You know, I shouldn't tell you this, but I like the Dodgers. Go Dodgers! Plays of the day next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air.
air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day. Let's start off with Game 7. It's the World Series. This is as good as it gets. They don't call it the Fall Classic for nothing. Listen, we told you before the year started the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to win the World Series. I told you before the playoffs started that the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to win the World Series. And I tell you before Game 7 starts that the Los Angeles Dodgers are going to win their 7th ever World Series. Yu Darvish will get it done this evening, at least long enough into the 5th or so to allow the Dodger offense to put enough runs up on the board. LA Dodgers win minus 155. NBA basketball. Give me the Pacers plus the 10 points against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm looking at the Toronto Raptors. Raptors on the road against the Denver Nuggets. Give me the Toronto Raptors plus 1.5 as well in this spot. I'm tempted by the Knicks and the Rockets, total 213.5, but we're going to pass. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.